Let's get ready to football! Hello and welcome in. You're listening to the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast with your hosts, David, Thomas, and Colton. Hello and welcome back. This is David with another legendary edition of the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast. Unfortunately, Thomas and Colton could not make it today. They went up into the mountains and they left me out of it. They left me here. And so what does that mean is another negative. We will not be talking too much about the draft this week. We're going to save that for when they get back. I know it's fresh in your mind. But we want to get their opinions on the pod, and I just didn't feel right doing an entire podcast with just my thoughts and then having to do another one next week or having to just forget about their opinions. And so we're going to wait. Next week they'll be back and we will get our, we'll have our post-draft podcast then. But fortunately there has been some breaking news. I don't know if you guys heard. Obviously, you know that, hopefully you know that I'm a Packers fan. And pretty big week for the Packers, as we had a little unknown player that you may have heard of, Aaron Rodgers, apparently wants out of Green Bay. So I'm going to be giving you my thoughts on that entire situation. And then I am also, I will give you a taste, a small taste of the draft. I will give you one of my winners. So I won't give you the full thing. I won't give you my main winner, but we will talk a little bit about the draft towards the end of the show and my thoughts on it overall, I guess. But let's get into it. So Adam Schefter dropped the bomb Thursday, right before the draft. Aaron Rodgers apparently wants out of Green Bay. Now, there has been all sorts of reports. I'm going to tell you what I know for sure. What we know basically for sure is that there's a situation here. There's some Packer fans that I've heard mostly that are still, I think, in denial. It makes sense. I get it. I wish I could still be in denial. But, guys, this is a real situation. We've had Mark Murphy, the Packers president, Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur. So, the Packers president and CEO, the Packers GM, and the Packers coach. And then you also have A.J. Hawk, who's a good friend of Aaron Rodgers still, and spent all week at the Kentucky, all weekend at the Kentucky Derby with Aaron Rodgers. And all of those guys directly acknowledge that something is going on. None of them came out and just said, oh, it's all fake and made up. All of them, you know, made comments like talking about how bad it was, talking about what needs to be fixed, talking about how they hope he's back in Green Bay, all sorts of things. But the one thing that none of them said was, oh, everything's made up and fake. So we know that something's there. If you were a Packers fan and you're getting in right now just hoping that I would say it's all fake, you know, I'm sorry. There's something here. The other thing is Aaron Rodgers also was apparently asked a couple questions at the Kentucky Derby, and he didn't really comment on much, but one thing he did comment was that he regrets that the rift has gotten out because he truly does love the Packers. So we know for sure there's something going on here. We know for sure, I want to say 95% sure, that not only do we know that there's a rift, but that I do think that Packers has made it known, or that Aaron Rodgers has made it known that he wants out. Because, again, no one's said anything that's fake about that. None of them completely denied that. And so I don't know to what extent he wants out. Now, some on the flip side, some of the things that we almost know for sure are fake. There were some reports that it was almost a done deal with the 49ers. Those have come out from both the 49ers and the Packers and been said that it's completely fake. Apparently what happened, and this is where I think the leak came from. This is my opinion. This aspect of this is my opinion. I know it's riddled in with trying to get to things I know. But my opinion of kind of how it started from what I've seen and heard, and I can't remember the guy's name. I feel like I've actually read somewhere else that they kind of have a similar thought of what happened. This where I guess maybe they didn't have a similar thought, but they kind of connected some of these things together that led me to this opinion. I wish I could give them credit, but I just don't know for sure. Obviously, there's been lots of reports by lots of different people. But apparently, Kyle Shanahan came out on a podium and said that he heard that Aaron Rodgers might potentially want out. And so he gave his friend Matt LaFleur a call. Matt LaFleur turned it down. That's another thing we know. Matt LaFleur instantly turned him down. From Kyle Shanahan's lips, said Matt LaFleur said that he'd be wasting his time. What I kind of wonder in this is there's been some rumors that potentially maybe Aaron Rodgers wants out. He let it be known to the 49ers, his team, his agent, somebody, let it be known to the 49ers that, you know, he's interested in being traded for and that he wants to be on the West Coast. Maybe come try and get him. And then somewhere in the mix of the agent and telling the 49ers and all this, like it just involving that party, I don't know if it's from the 49ers specifically. Maybe it's someone that just was in the discussion. I imagine that quite a few 49ers people had to know about it if they were trying to potentially move off of Trey Lance and go to Aaron Rodgers. You know, you don't make that type of decision without at least a few people. And so that's where I kind of think the leak came from. There's been a lot of fighting about whether it's the Packers or Aaron Rodgers. I don't know, and I don't think we're going to know, but that's where I personally think it came from. But we do know for a fact that 49ers news was fake. The other thing is we do know for a fact that the Broncos news was fake. The Broncos were in the draft room. Both the Broncos and the Packers have said that it's completely false that there was anything close to a deal. From what it sounds like is that there was a little bit of a trigger-happy reporter that heard a little bit of news and just kind of went a little too far with it. And so I'm not going to put that guy on blast, but that's apparently what the thought is at this point. So both of those are fake. The other thing that has come out to be fake is Aaron Rodgers' wish list. It was apparently an Aaron Rodgers' wish list that included Denver, the 49ers, Oakland, and there may have been another team or so on there that I can't think of. Those aren't necessarily the teams. It's not necessarily that he wouldn't like to play for those teams, but he did not give the Packers a wish list, according to more reliable sources. And so that's another thing. And then finally, winding down, we had a lot of reports that it had something to do with Jordan Love, that had something to do with a contract extension, and something to do. And then there was also the reports that he wants Brian Gutekunst fired. And there was also reports that he's willing to retire. And yesterday on the Pat McAfee show, A.J. Hawk basically blew up all of those at once. Like I said, A.J. Hawk spent all weekend with the Kentucky Derby with Rodgers. A.J. Hawk was careful to say he is not speaking for Rodgers. He is speaking a little bit off of opinion and a little bit off of the feel that he got from Rodgers. But he did go out and say 0% chance he retires. And so while he did say that, he did say 0% chance he retires. So this thought that he might retire and go coach Jeopardy, those people need to maybe actually watch teams, look closely at teams before they start reporting some of this garbage. Because Aaron Rodgers has always been a guy that, yes, he has other interests. That was one of his negatives in the NFL, going into the NFL, is that he had other interests outside of football. But he's a football guy. He's the guy that people got mad at him for criticizing his receivers. Well, the reason he was criticizing his receivers in that report that came out a couple years ago was because his receivers were messing around during walkthroughs in training camp during walkthroughs. Like, this is a guy that takes football seriously. He's talked multiple times about his dream scenario would be riding off in the sunset when he's 45 years old, winning a Super Bowl. So this is not a guy that's wanted to retire anytime soon. He flat out said that a couple weeks ago that he could play football and host Jeopardy. And so I don't know how true that is. I have no idea about the demand that Jeopardy would take. I don't know. But he's not retiring from football. He's not paying the Packers back $20 million to retire from football. A.J. Hawk confirmed that. A.J. Hawk also said that he doesn't think there's any chance that he's out there telling the Packers that they need to fire Brian Gutekunst because he's not that kind of guy. Again, people want to make Aaron Rodgers be this big bad guy, and I think that was one of those. According to A.J. Hawk, no chance that he wants Brian Gutekunst fired. He also went on to say that it's not the Jordan Love situation, and it's not the contract situation. He has plenty of money. It's little things that have been done over time, and the more and more reports that we've seen, that's what it seems. That's where the breakdown's been. Small things, even going back before Brian Gutekunst, you know, things like he wanted Jared Cook back way back when, and I think it was 2016, 2015. He wanted Jared Cook back. Packers didn't make it happen. They did go after Cook, but they couldn't bring him in. He didn't want to come back for the price that they were willing to pay. He left. Then cutting Jordy Nelson was probably part of that. Cutting or letting Randall Cobb walk was probably part of that. Jake Kumro was seemingly a big one. He went out 2 years ago and gave praise to Jake Kumro, only for Jake Kumro to be cut 2 days later. He talked about how he wanted the Packers to draft a receiver, and I don't think it's the Love pick itself, but the fact of all these decisions were without Aaron Rodgers in the loop, and that was a mistake. You know, that was a mistake by the Packers in general. You know, like, it's easy to sit there and say, why would you care about a fifth string receiver? Well, they could at least let Aaron Rodgers know that they're going to cut the guy. You know what I mean? Like, they don't have to go and just cut him. The Bears called Andy Dalton this week when they realized they were going to trade up and get Justin Fields. The Bears called Andy Dalton, who's been there for 2 months, this week to let him know. So that was a mistake by the Packers. That Brian Gutekunst has even said that's a mistake. And so, but I think it's more along those lines. You know, I got to credit PackerNet Podcast for bringing this up. The Pack-A-Day Podcast, sorry, from PackerNet that brought this up. But I actually listened to them today, and they actually compared it to, if you're an Office fan, you'll understand this, the Michael Scott scene where he goes in and is complaining and about all the little things that's been going on at work, that's been putting distance between him. He's realized he's not making any money. They canceled his birthday party, and he went in to Wallace and told him all these things that were going wrong. And then Wallace actually offered, okay, I'll give you the birthday party, I'll give you the everything you're asking for, and I'm sorry. And then Michael Scott quits, and David Walsh is just in shock. And that actually kind of reminds me of this Packers situation perfectly. It sounds like there's just a ton of things going on with Aaron Rodgers over the course of years, and now this season Aaron Rodgers went out and he initially wanted a contract extension, and then finally the Packers did offer them a contract extension. Also been reported the Packers did actually offer him a contract extension at one point this offseason. And Aaron Rodgers just kind of realized he's done and said no. And so I don't know where we go from here. No one knows where we go from here. I don't know how serious things are. You know, it's a serious thing. And A.J. Hawk dismissed all these rumors. A.J. Hawk also talked about how he has no idea how the Packers and Aaron Rodgers' side let it get this far. He also talked about how it's going to take a lot of time and effort to come back from this. So A.J. Hawk wasn't dismissing this as some small thing. It's just that some of these extreme reports have been false. And so I don't know where we go from here. It sounds like the Packers are absolutely adamant that they're gonna hold on to him. They've talked multiple times. They haven't even entertained a trade offer. And so if this is from my understanding of the cap, so this is not a perfect understanding of the cap, and this is also from my memory of reading about the understanding of the cap, if the Packers trade him, they're going to go up from like a $34 million cap hit to like a $35 million dead cap hit. So they'll actually lose money. If they do it post June 1st, that drops all the way down to 17, and then they'd have to pay like another 17 in dead cap next year. Something along those lines. And so I think that there's basically three possibilities, three outcomes that we look at from here. I think number one, and I think this is probably the least likely outcome in my opinion, the Packers could be just playing a waiting game till June 1st and they go trade Aaron Rodgers June 1st. I think that's the least likely one because they. I don't know why you'd want. They have the cap for Aaron Rodgers. The receiver. I mean, the free agency market's already moved on. Why save all that money this year just to also have it be a dead cap next year? I think they'd rather be able to be at least, you know, if you're not going to be having Aaron Rodgers on your team, you might as well be in at least a good cap situation and have the ability to try and load up whatever you need around Jordan Love. And so, and even if they aren't on the same lines as I am, even if they don't completely agree with me on that, I think even if you're on the other side of that, it's like, no, we need the saving cap savings this season. Is the cap savings so important that you wouldn't even entertain the idea of an offer of the 49ers for 3 or the Broncos for 8? Because if they trade Aaron Rodgers now after the draft, they're not getting that type of draft compensation because they're not getting that early of a draft pick. Like, Aaron Rodgers is going to go to Denver, be a Super Bowl contender, and they're going to get a draft pick at best in the 20s. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I don't think it's even – I just don't think that's the possibility. They might – now, that does lead us to the second possibility where they might trade him post-June 1st, but I just don't think that that's what their plan is. The Packers may not have hit reality yet. They may think that they can still save this. And fix this relationship and go out and do this. And then here in a couple months, they're going to reality is going to hit and they're eventually going to end up trading Aaron Rodgers. That's what I think is the second most likely scenario. And now what I think the first most likely scenario is, and this might just be a little bit of the optimistic Packer fan in me, and this opinion has changed multiple times. The Packers are a stubborn organization. And it may not seem like it, but the Packers hold all the cards. Aaron Rodgers can retire if he wants to, and he's going to end up having to pay $20 million back to the Packers. And then that's not even counting the money that he would have actually gotten paid this season. We're talking tons of money, and I get he doesn't need money. Aaron Rodgers can still – Aaron Rodgers is not so rich that $30 million or so – and I don't even know if that's the actual cash he would get this year, but I'm just – maybe saying, I think at a minimum, he's getting $10 million in cash this year. I'm guessing it's actually a lot more than that. But he's not going to do a $30 million swing and say, oh, no big deal. That's a lot of money for Aaron Rodgers still. Yeah, he doesn't need that money, but that's a lot of money for him still. And so I don't think he's going to put all his goals aside and do that for nothing. He can't, so I don't think that retirement's a real card. People, I don't think everyone knows this. If he retires and comes back in a year, he's still on the Packers. The cards are still in the Packers' hand. Now, maybe he retires for a year and then the Packers move on and then now it's easier for the Packers to move on from him. Maybe that type of thing happens, but I don't see the retirement thing between. I didn't see it before, and I definitely don't see it after listening to AJ Hawk. I just don't think it's a real thing. I don't think it accomplishes his goal, and I think financially it's just too much for him to give up between those two things. And legacy wise too, you know, I mean, you just won MVP. Now you're gonna throw away a year after that where you could become a super. I mean, the Packers were a game away from the Super Bowl last year. You could definitely argue that they were a couple injuries away from the Super Bowl. If they had David Bakhtiari to block some of that Buccaneers defense, then, you know, they're there. You could even argue, and I'm not going to bring this all back up again, but just reminding everyone how close the Packers were, you could even argue that a couple bad penalties led to the Packers not going to the Super Bowl. You could even argue a couple bad coaching decisions led to that. You know, they were that close to this season. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to throw all that away. I think that's too much for him to throw away between the money, between the legacy, and then from what AJ Hawk says. And so the Packers hold the cards here. He's under contract. He, under the new CBA, he can't really hold out. The Packers are having a virtual offseason. So he's not holding out a virtual OTAs does nothing for them. And they probably at this point don't even really want Aaron Rodgers at the real life OTAs. You know, I don't think that matters to them anymore. What's he going to do? Hold out a training camp? I don't know exactly when they can't do it, but the penalties for holding out are pretty swift financially under this new CBA. So he just really, I mean, unless he just doesn't care about the money, which then at that point, why not retire? He just really can't hold out all season long until they trade him. And at that point, why, if that's the situation Aaron Rodgers goes into, and it gets to that point where it's week two, week three, and Aaron Rodgers is completely holding out, why do the Packers need to trade him? They've already moved on from him. They're already rolling with Jordan Love. I get you want the compensation, but Aaron Rodgers is going to be under contract for the next 3 years. Like, he can't outweigh the Packers. And so the Packers hold the cards in this situation. And for the Packers, it makes no sense financially. It makes no sense compensation-wise because, like I said, with the draft picks, that's a real thing at this point. And also, like, everyone has a plan at quarterback right now. It's not, you know, we're not talking about the Broncos, you know, 2 months ago when it was like, okay, all we have is Drew Locke and we have nothing else. We're talking about whether the Broncos are happy with Drew Locke or whether they would take Aaron Rodgers or not. They, at least last week, were comfortable moving forward with this plan. Aaron Rodgers changes that plan, but they were comfortable moving forward with this plan. That instantly puts them in a situation where they're not willing to trade as much. And that's the Broncos, who are still a team that's probably way in this thing. So Aaron Rodgers, the Packers hold all the cards. I personally think they are going to wait it out, and ultimately Aaron Rodgers is going to end up playing for the Green Bay Packers this last season. Like I said, I might be an optimistic Packers fan. They hold all the cards. They are adamant about not trading him. It doesn't make sense for them to do it this year in any sense of the matter. And, you know, next year the cap hits a lot better. Next year the compensation will likely be a lot better as long as Aaron Rodgers doesn't hurt his value by his play this season. And then also next year Jordan Love is not only another year older, but he's also played in some preseason games. He's taken maybe some snaps in a couple blowout games. And so he's had some level of experience at that point too. And so I think that that's what the Packers are going to do. And it's going to be in Aaron Rodgers' court. And I think ultimately Aaron Rodgers is going to end up playing for Green Bay this season. And then I think next season Aaron Rodgers will be gone. And so, I don't know. Like I said, that ending part of it all is completely my opinion. Now, I do want to talk about some of the blasphemy that's been going on around this whole ordeal for a second. There's been a lot of people criticizing the Green Bay Packers. A lot of people just going to town on them. I'm going to let you know what it's like to be a Green Bay Packer fan the last 2 years. 2 years ago when Drew Locke was in the draft. So I guess, yeah, 2 years ago. I said that right. 2 years ago when Drew Locke was in the draft. We went through an entire offseason of the Packers or of mock drafts of Drew Locke to the Packers because the Packers were apparently in on Drew Locke. Now, that wasn't an actual thing. Now, they may enjoy Drew Locke. I don't know. But what happened is they gave him a workout. They looked at him. They actually passed on Drew Locke twice in that draft. So I don't believe that they were super high on Drew Locke or anything. They may have. But, you know, knowing that they took Jordan Love a year later, when you have two first-round draft picks, and why not take that guy if you believe in him? You know, the year after that, they trade up for Jordan Love, but they weren't willing to stay put or even maybe trade back a bit for Drew Locke. I just don't think that's a thing. But all offseason long, we heard about Drew Locke. Last year, all offseason long, we heard about Jordan Love and about the Packers trading up for Jordan Love, about the Packers, you know. I mean, the year before, it was the Packers had those two first-round picks, and it was even some things of the Packers taking Drew Locke at 14 with their early first-round pick. Then all of a sudden, they take Jordan Love. And for the last few years before this, we had also heard tons of people just hate on Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers isn't good. Aaron Rodgers isn't the player he used to be. Aaron Rodgers isn't the leader of this team. Aaron Rodgers is a baby. You remember that Tyler Dunn article from Bleacher Report a couple years ago, which I think was egregious. I'm not flipping sides on this, so don't take this as a side of me. All of a sudden, I hate Aaron Rodgers. But all these people hate on Aaron Rodgers. And then all of a sudden, we do actually draft Jordan Love. And all of a sudden we're the dumbest people on the planet for doing what everyone had talked about for years. Everyone had said that we should move on for Aaron Rodgers for years. It's idiotic. All of a sudden we get Jordan Love and now it's the worst thing on the planet, even though people have been projecting it and saying that we should do it for years. So then this offseason, we get wrecked in that NFC Championship game. Large part due to Kevin King. All offseason long, I've heard of us drafting corners. All offseason long, I've seen Eric Stokes in the first round or borderline in the first round. All offseason long. We talked about him last week on this podcast when we were doing our betting as a potential first-round pick at corner. We took him in the first round 2 weeks ago on the mock draft with the Draft Guru. All season long, all of a sudden we draft Eric Stokes and he's some reach that was actually a third-round pick, and the Packers are so dumb because they didn't take a receiver. Are you kidding me? No matter what, the Packers can't do it right. I mean, it's people literally, the way that people have ducked and dived and changed opinions and flip-flopped, it is insane. Go back and check what some of these guys are saying before you just jump on their bandwagon agreeing with them. Because they flip-flopped their opinions on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers 5 freaking times. I mean, 2 years ago, Aaron Rodgers is the most overpaid player in sports, and we need to absolutely trade him. You know, I mean, he was, if you remember, right, when we did go draft Jordan Love, he had been hurt 3 of the previous 5 seasons, and everyone was like, he's done. D-U-N done. Now, all of a sudden, Aaron Rodgers is the most untouchable athlete in sports, and the Packers are the dumbest ones ever for not getting him help. Well, I'm going to tell you what we've done to get him help. Because, you know, and again, I'm not anti-Aaron Rodgers in this situation. I don't think that the weapons are the problem in Aaron Rodgers' relationship. I think that the problem is not being in the loop on these small, small things that have just grown and grown over time. And I'm sure that he's not thrilled about all the moves, but I think he is very aware that the NFL is a business. And so, you know, while I don't think he would have been happy with the Jake Kumerow move or with the Jordan Love move, I think he would have understood a lot more if he just felt appreciated enough to get a phone call. And so I'm not going at Aaron Rodgers here, but let's go back to 3 years ago when Brian Gutekunst took over. I'm going to even go before Brian Gutekunst took over. What did we do? So first, we go get a guy named Martellius Bennett, tight end. Spend money in free agency to go get him. I get that's not the biggest thing in the world, but at that time, you know, we still had a decent group of wideouts. We had Devontae, wasn't what he is now, but with Jordan, with Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb still loosely in the building, Geronimo Allison was still there. We go get Martellius Bennett. That obviously flops. Well, you know, we don't sit there and do nothing. We instead go get Jimmy Graham. So we did invest, whether they're a receiver or a receiving tight end, we invested heavily on some of these offensive weapons. You then go flip to the other side of the ball. 2 years ago, we spent $8 million on a right tackle the dogs are yapping. Hey. But 2 years ago, we go spend $8 million on a tackle in Billy Turner. And then what we do the very next season, we go spend $6 million on a tackle with Rick Wagner. Which I get, these aren't high name, you know, the best offensive linemen in NFL history. But Billy Turner's been very good for us. And the year before that, I think we signed Byron Bell, actually, too. So we've been adamant of, in free agency, getting pieces around Aaron Rodgers. You can't sit there and tell me, oh, these pieces didn't work out, because that's not what people are telling us. People aren't saying the Packers have failed to pick up these guys. If that's the case, then they're lying. The Aaron Rodgers just threw 48 touchdowns. We had a running back just run for 1,000 yards. We have the best receiver in football last year, one of the best left tackles in football, one of the best left guards in football, one of the best overall offensive lines, and then one of the better running games in the NFL. So if the argument is that we haven't succeeded in putting weapons around Aaron Rodgers. That's just idiotic, and that guy just needs to not talk about football no more. If the but the thing that I've heard is that they haven't even tried. They just don't care. They spent 9 of their last 10 first round picks on defense. So let's now talk about the draft. Well, at that time we took 3 wide receivers in the same draft class. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who actually was a hit. You know, Marquez Valdes-Scantling isn't the best player in the world. For a 5th round pick, Marquez Valdes-Scantling has been very solid. Equanimeous St. Brown has not worked out, has dealt with too many injuries. I unfortunately don't think he's going to work out. Then Jamon Moore, who was a bust. Next year, we take D'Angelo Yancey in the 6th round. It's a flyer that he turned into a bust. Oh, look, if we back... sorry, I'm all over the place here. So let's just keep going. So then what have we done the last 2 years? Or 3 years, I guess, if you don't count this year. We obviously took 1 wide receiver this year. But in the 2 years before this, we did take... we took 2 receiving tight ends in the 3rd round. So day 2 of the draft. So... we have invested in these guys. Also, if you go back even before that to Ted Thompson's time, there was a year when we drafted Davante Adams before Jordy and Randall Cobb were entering the end of their days, where we did take 3 wide receivers then, too. And when we took Devontae and we took Jared Aberderius in the 6th and Jeff Janis in the 7th. And so twice in the last, I think... 5, 6, 7 years, maybe. I don't know exactly what year Davante Adams was drafted. I think it was 2014. It may have been 2015. But twice we've taken 3 receivers in 1 draft. We've taken other receivers, another dart throw receivers, and then in back-to-back years we took a third round tight end. And we've done that with undrafted free agent guys like Geronimo Allison on the team that's been, you know, he had his time of being average. Alan Lazard, who's had his time of being average. And then Davante Adams and Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb have all been mixed in there during that time too. But we've still invested in receiver. Then you look at the offensive line. I might even go back that far. I'm going to try and stick more within the Brian Gutekunst era. But... if we go back 2 years ago, I believe, 2 years ago, we draft Elgton Jenkins in the 2nd round. And we take Cole Madison, offensive lineman, in the 4th round 3 years ago. So we've taken offensive lineman every single year. But what did we do last year? We drafted 3 offensive linemen. Now remember, we had one of the best offensive linemen when Brian Gutekunst showed up. It was a little aged with... you know, Brian Bulaga and Corey Linsley, not quite there, but getting close to there. But he's invested in the free agency at the offensive line position, and then he's invested heavily in the offensive line position through the draft. And then what did he do this year? He went out and got 3 more offensive linemen. I'm going to be honest with you, and I think Aaron Rodgers would agree with me, because Aaron Rodgers, you know, he doesn't care that Davante Adams wasn't a first-round pick. He's happy that he has Davante Adams on this team. He does not care that Davante Adams was not a first-round pick. He doesn't care that David Bakhtiari wasn't a first-round pick. He doesn't care that Corey Linsley or Aaron Jones or Jamal Williams, which, by the way, investing at running back like we have also helps the quarterback. But he doesn't care that these guys aren't first-round picks. He cares that they're talented. He cares that they're talented. When Brian Gutekunst took over, if you try to backtrack your brains to about 2017 when it was his first draft, Aaron Rodgers had always had some of the best receivers in the NFL. You figure when Aaron Rodgers first came in, he had that loaded group with Jordy Nelson, Gray Jennings, Donald Driver, and James Jones, and JerMichael Finley. You then switched out and added Randall Cobb to that mix. He rode that group for a few years before adding Davante Adams to that. I mean, he has always had a loaded group of wide receivers until he had 1 or 2 bad years at the end of the Jordy Nelson era. At the end of the Jordy Nelson era, Randall Cobb really didn't carry the slack. He was dealing with injuries, and Davante Adams hadn't fully emerged yet. And really, that wasn't even the end of Jordy Nelson's injury. That was the years also when Jordy Nelson got hurt. Let me tell you something. If DeAndre Hopkins tore his ACL this year, you know who would have one of the worst receiving cores in the NFL? The Cardinals. Well, what about Julio Jones? Yes, they would still have Calvin Ridley, but theirs would be hurt tremendously. Well, what about Justin Jefferson and the Vikings? Yes, they would still have Adam Thielen, but theirs would be hurt tremendously. Yes, okay, I'll give it to you guys. If Davante Adams tore his ACL this year, we would be in trouble. Not just because we wouldn't have a great receiving core, but because Davante Adams is irreplaceable. And that was what happened with Jordy Nelson. And that changed all the stigma. The other thing that Aaron Rodgers has had almost consistently throughout his entire career is a great offensive line. The two things that everyone pointed to say that Aaron Rodgers has never had help was defense and the running game. Since Brian Gutekunst has showed up, he's had the best defenses of his career. Not there yet. Still needs to improve, but some of the best defenses of his career. And he's consistently had a good run game. Oh, I've forgotten the midst of all this. We forgot about when they took Ty Montgomery, you know, who, again, was a bust. But he was still effort in that wide receiver game. But the entire thing, the entire way the media's portrayed this is just an absolute joke. If you look at the Packers, player for player, they are one of the best teams in the NFL for talent. The reason we've drafted defense 9 of the last 10 drafts is because Aaron Rodgers' entire career has been filled with terrible defenses. There's been, I think, twice he's had a top 10 defense. One year he won the Super Bowl, and the other year was just a year ago when he made it to the NFC Championship game without really playing up to his standard. 2 years ago, I'm sorry. Not the year we just had his MVP year, but the Matt LaFleur's first year. So, I mean, take all that for whatever you want, you know. It's a crazy situation. People are just unloading on the Packers. And I think it's dumb. I think it's absolutely dumb that some people would, you know, came out and said that they should fire Brian Gutekunst to keep Aaron Rodgers. Like, I think people are just done really thinking with sports. I think instead they just want to say things that make them popular. Because the fact that anyone would ever say to fire a GM that's had the success that Brian Gutekunst has had, which I don't care what the media says, go look at his drafts. His first draft, he traded down, ended up getting an extra first-round pick, and then got Jaire Alexander. Think about that. His first draft, he traded down, picked up Jaire Alexander, and an extra first-round pick. The next year, Rashawn Gary, okay, maybe wasn't the best player of all time, but he's still solid. Darnell Savage. And then Elgton Jenkins. So, again, rebounds with just a ridiculous, ridiculous draft. Also, you want to go back to free agency. And, I mean, he spent with he signed four guys for some that insane, like $50 million a year annually. And none of the guys really busted. Preston Smith has had one good year and one average year at best, really. So he's probably the closest you could say to busting. Billy Turner's been rock solid. Almost has been a huge steal. And Za'Darius Smith has won one of the best pass rushers in football the last 2 years. Then he responded the next year by going Christian Kirksey and Rick Wagner. People are trying to say the Packers aren't all in. How in the world are you all in? Not all in, but have no cap space. Those two things don't mix. Those two things do not mix. The reason that the Packers didn't go all in, quotation marks, this year was because they already went all in 2 years ago with Brian Gutekunst. And people just want to, again, duck, dive. The Packers have never given Aaron Rodgers help, but yet no one, you know, Aaron Rodgers eats up all this cap space. And, like, I'm not going at Aaron Rodgers here. Like, Aaron Rodgers deserves to get paid whatever he gets paid. But, you know, and it's not Aaron Rodgers' job to worry about other positions. But Aaron Rodgers has always been paid. Both times he's gone paid, he became the top paid quarterback in the NFL. That's fine. But because of that, there's going to be situations that you have to miss out on. That's just the way it is. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers is a bad player. I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers needs to switch it up. Davante Adams gets paid $15 million a year. If he took $1 million a year salary, we could sign more guys too. I'm not saying that Davante Adams or anybody needs to take a pay cut. But it is a factor in the equation. And so, I don't know. It's a joke. The entire situation is mostly a joke. I do hope Aaron Rodgers gets back. I hope you don't take that as me turning on Aaron Rodgers. I want Aaron Rodgers back, and I do think the Packers made some bad mistakes in the situation. At the very least, give people phone calls. But, like, if a guy likes Jake Kumerow, what's the big deal with keeping Jake Kumerow on the roster? Like, it's not like he's some big high, you know, Jared Cook, if that was the thing that everyone was talking about, okay, Jared Cook needed money, and Jared Cook wanted his money, and we weren't willing to give it to him. That's the thing. Jake Kumerow is still just a fringe player. Why not just keep him on the team? And so I don't understand why. Yeah, and yes, you may say it's petty that Aaron Rodgers would get so upset over that, and it probably is a little bit. But why can't the Packers just keep him, knowing that he likes him? It makes no sense. So I do think the Packers have made mistakes. I think Rodgers have made mistakes in this situation too. I think, you know, most things in life, no one's without fault. But let's get into the draft a little bit. We're 40 minutes in. I know you got in this and you're like, is it possible for him to rant about the Packers for 40 freaking minutes? It is. It is possible. And so it's happened. We've discussed it more thoroughly than I ever wanted to. And, you know, now it's time to move on to the draft. I'm going to tell you a team that I loved. I absolutely loved what they did. I don't know if they are my favorite winner. I don't know if they're my biggest winner. I don't know where I'm at on that part of that discussion. But they're a team that I think they just tore it up. And this is a team that gets mocked, and you know, I've mocked them. Usually never does anything right. And that's the New York Football Jets. This team, who drafted for these guys? Because I know it wasn't their GM. Zach Wilson in the first is not my favorite pick in the world. It's just not my favorite pick in the world. I would have definitely gone Justin Fields. I was not the biggest Zach Wilson truther. But, you know, he was seen as one of the best quarterbacks in the draft. He's, you know, you can't deny the potential and the talent that he has. And so, you know, they took him. But then what did they do from there? They went and traded up for Elijah Vera Tucker, which, like, I get they probably overpaid a touch. But first off, I'm almost never going to kill a team for saying, okay, here's your guy, you went up and got him. Like, it might not be a huge positive, but, like, if he's your type of guy, go get your type of guy. Don't just say, oh, man, we would have loved Elijah Vera Tucker, and then go watch him be a star on some other team. Meanwhile, Zach Wilson can't be blocked for because you guys were afraid to give up too much in the draft. Like, it's an idiotic process when you go about it that way. But you go out and protect your young offensive lineman. I talked about it last week. I get that maybe it's not always the best for team building right now, but I love it for the future. When teams just get these young guys and then just hammer it home, helping them out. And so they say, what, we didn't help out Sam Darnold? Well, you know how we got Denzel Mims last year? Let's add Elijah Moore to that. So at this point, you get your quarterback, you add a receiver to help him, you add an offensive lineman to help him. Great draft already. They turn around and they go get Michael Carter. They don't have a third-round pick. They go get Michael Carter in the fourth round to fix some of their running back problems. And so, like, now, I mean, it's just, and Michael Carter's not my favorite player, but, like, Michael Carter, to me, that's, like, the perfect situation you're looking for. Like, Michael Carter's a really good player. He's one of those guys that you just see it written all over him as a guy that is going to be an average, or that day three guy that comes in and is an average running back. I don't know that he has the athleticism to become a David Johnson type, but you know what? James Robinson also didn't have that athleticism to become that type of player. He just had the skill. And Michael Carter has a lot of skill. He's a really solid player. He's a guy that I think is going to mix in there. And you know, I get that, you know, their defense had holes and that maybe they could help some things out. There's no one that can claim that they didn't do everything they could to rebuild this offense around Zach Wilson. I mean, if you're Zach Wilson, now you're going in with the staple guard, tackle, center, wherever they want to play Vera Tucker at. you're going in with Elijah Moore and Denzel Mims at wide receiver, and you now you have at least someone at running back with Michael Carter. You know, that's a big rebuild with only limited supplies of picks to go out and say that you could end up in a draft with your starting quarterback, a starting guard, a starting receiver, and a starting running back. Like, that just doesn't happen. And so, I love what they did. I don't know that I'll say that they're my favorite team. I don't know that I'll say that they're the winners, capital W, of the draft. Because, you know, they did probably overpay for Elijah Vera Tucker. You know, Zach Wilson wasn't my favorite guy. And then, you know, maybe didn't overall do what's best for the team today. But going around doing what they did, you know, I think it's just going to set them up for the future. Zach Wilson should be really happy joining this team, I think. And so, we'll see. Like I said, next week, we're going to be back with the Colton and the Thomas talking some draft. We might even have a surprise guest, who knows. And we're going to hear some draft reviews, get some draft content. Maybe at that point you hear me rant about what I thought about the Packers draft instead of having to rant about Aaron Rodgers. Hopefully Aaron Rodgers is still on the team. But we'll just see. I hope you guys all had a great day. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us here on the Let's Get Ready to Football podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Ready to Football Pod, or leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/readytofootballpod. And make sure you hit subscribe so you can come back next week and hear another great edition of the podcast. Have a great week.